It's the Chai Cooking Corner on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I am got quite an exciting show. I'm very excited about this show. I know that there's, like, every yontif I always say, oh, it's my favorite yontif. But at that time of the year, I'm ready for it, and it does become my favorite yontif. But this is my favorite month. This has to be. I mean, the entire month of Adar is just wonderful. First of all, the birth of my twin granddaughters was in this month. In fact, on Purim. I got married in this month. 37 years later, I'm still smiling. What else happened? My middle son was born in the month of Adar. And in fact, in about a week and a half's time, we are going to be celebrating my son's marriage on Purim, in fact. And then, of course, we will also be celebrating Purim, and I'll be sharing some recipes with you that we can use on Purim. And what do we do when we celebrate? We eat. So I'll be sharing a couple of recipes with you for Shabbos, for Purim, when you've got big crowds and you want to prepare before. I must say, I had the big family Shabbos this past Friday night, and there was quite a large crowd. And my daughter-in-law walked in, and she said to me, "Shai, you're just so chilled." So I said, "Yeah, because you know what? You prepare everything in advance, and then at about 4 o'clock, you just start taking everything out and setting up." And it was actually a beautiful, chilled, easy evening. So I want to share some of the recipes that I did for that. And everybody knows that Yotam Ottolenghi, okay, the famous Yotam Ottolenghi, the famous Israeli chef who has restaurants and delis, who's an author, who's a restaurateur, who is just the most phenomenal, well-known man in the world, who's actually based in London. And as you know, I've been trying to get him on my show. So if anybody in London is listening, please just push him my way. I must say, I'm blessed this morning to have a very special lady who actually knows Yotam better than most, because she has worked with him for over 5 years. She graduated, got a degree here in South Africa, in Johannesburg, went over to London, and has been with the Yotam Group for the past 5 years. So I want to welcome to the show Leah Leventhal, who has been worked side by side. You are so lucky with Yotam. But I have to ask you a question first before we start. Firstly, welcome to the show and thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to be here.
Yes, on your annual visit. Beautiful. And I have to ask you one thing. I was watching a program the other night with Gordon Ramsay, you know, Hell's Kitchen. I thought, there's no way Yotam is like that. No way. So just clarify that
Yotam
for me.
Yotam is definitely not like Gordon Ramsay at all. He is the nicest boss in the whole world. He's so humble. He's so kind and friendly. And he's such a just genuine, amazing human being. I absolutely love working for him. I don't think I would never work anywhere else for as long as I'm in London. And yes. He always comes in, he knows everybody by name, he greets everyone, and he's just so amazing to work with.
Oh, fantastic. And now, so how many restaurants does he have, or delis? What does he have?
We have 5 restaurants, 2 of them are delis, and then we have 3 restaurants. One of them, which is called Noppy, which is our sister restaurant.
Right.
So it's more fine dining, and it's a more Asian-influenced restaurant as well.
Right. And I'm
opening one more as well in the next couple months. Another, which will be the biggest of the Ottolenghi restaurants.
Wow. Okay. So now, Thank God we've got Leah here. She is going to, I mean, for those of us who unfortunately can't eat at Yotam's place for kashrut reasons, Leah is going to share some of the most magical, incredible dishes that she cooks in the kitchen, all Yotam's recipes. And we've actually got quite a few of the books here because every time a book comes out, I run straight to buy his books. I mean, there's Yotam's book, Jerusalem, there's Nopi, there's, in fact, at Woolworths, I saw a new one called
Sweet.
I've got to get that one. I mean, apparently that has got desserts in it.
It is incredible. It came out just a few months ago, and it has the most amazing cakes, cookies, desserts, everything you can imagine in that book. Incredible.
And you think to yourself, like, how much more can this man create? And it just carries on and on and on.
Every single day.
Plenty more as well. So we're going to share some recipes from Plenty More. But if you haven't got any of Yotam's books, go out and get them. I mean, he's the most incredible, incredible chef, cook, person. He's got TV shows. I mean, we see him on TV all the time. I mean, well, as you can see, I am in awe of him. So I'm so happy to have you here.
I am also in awe of him. I follow him on Instagram, of course, and every day he posts something that they're making in the test kitchen.
Yes.
And I'm just like, oh my God, I need to eat this. I need to try this. And he's inspiring.
Yes.
Even to me.
I see on Instagram that he's been in Cape Town.
Yeah, he was
there. I can't believe he didn't visit us here in Joburg. Anyway, so let's get cracking with some. Okay, so you've been working in the last few months at Nopi, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And what would you say is like one of the greatest recipes that you've cooked there and that you love? Yeah, you know, because sometimes, you know what happens? You cook things. This happens to me so often. I cook and I cook. And because I've smelled it the whole day, come supper time and a biltong bagel. Because it's just, you know, I'm just so tired of the smell. But I'm sure that yours. In fact, you know what? We're going to go to an ad break and then you're going to come back and tell me your favorite dish. Good.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Can adults go as well, I wonder? Do you remember what you used to go dressed up as for Purim? Was it your normal clown outfit or Queen Esther outfit?
The only one I can remember is the Queen Esther, actually.
Really?
Yeah. It's the only one we've got pictures of.
For those of you who have just joined me, I'm chatting to Leah Leventhal, who is the next best thing to Yotam Ottolenghi. She's worked with him. She's trained with him. And we are so lucky to have her in the studio with us today. And she's going to be sharing some of her experiences and some of the dishes that she cooks. She's worked in all his restaurants and in his test kitchens and whatever. And she's been working in Nopi for the last few months. So she's going to share her favorite recipe with us at Nopi.
That is a very hard one because everything there is incredible. Everything is delicious. But my absolute favorite is by far the savory cheesecake. So it is a baked blue cheese cheesecake with pickled beetroot and honey. And it is absolutely incredible.
Oh.
So what it is, the base is made with sourdough bread, digestive biscuits, parmesan, and pumpkin seeds. And then the filling is predominantly blue cheese. There's also Philadelphia cheese, gorgonzola, leeks, and chives. And then on the top, once it's baked, it's baked for 20 minutes. And then once it's baked, we just put pickled beetroot on the top, and then it's drizzled with thyme honey, which is just honey infused with thyme, and then micro basil just for that extra little bit of color and flavor on the top. Oh, I love micro herbs. It's one of the only dishes that we've had in the restaurant that hasn't changed since we've opened. So in 7 years, that is one of the dishes that we haven't changed. It is incredible. And we bake them in smaller pans, so it serves, you know, one or two people because it's quite rich. Yes. But if you did want to do it in a larger pan, of course you could. Could use, you know, instead of just separating it into smaller ones, you could do it in one bigger dish.
Right. So what I'm going to do is, instead of reading through it now, because we've got so many recipes to get through and so many different ideas, I'm going to ask our producer to put it up on Facebook for those who haven't got the book. But I'd suggest you go and get it. It is incredible. And I think the thing that's so wonderful about Yotam is his mixtures of tastes and textures and herbs and, I mean, pickled beetroot and thyme-infused honey. I mean, it's just absolutely...
He's a food genius.
He puts together things
that you would never think go together, and you taste it and it's like...
You go, oh, my word.
Heaven. Absolutely. Yeah.
And it's everything you make of his is superb, because I know that... you know, of reading up on him and reading his books and things, he is an absolute perfectionist. Yeah. He will do it over and over and over again and get other people to come into the test kitchen to taste it and see. And so when it finally goes to print, you've got to know that recipe
is tried and tested.
And there's extra little things that he puts in. Those are the important ingredients. But talking about that cheesecake, I often make the aubergine cheesecake, which is in his book, Plenty More. And it is absolutely delicious. So that one I'm going to share, because it's quite a quick recipe. You would need 2 medium aubergines cut widthways into 2 centimeter thick slices. So I would say you need about 700 grams of aubergines. You also need some olive oil. So about 65 mils of olive oil. You'd need 150 grams of feta crumbled into large chunks, 150 grams of cream cheese, 3 eggs, 60 mils of double cream. What's that? It's about a quarter of a cup. 150 grams of baby plum tomatoes, halved lengthwise, and oregano leaves torn up. You can get dried oregano if you would like, prefer, and 1.5 teaspoons of za'atar, salt, and black pepper. And it's such a simple but such a delicious, delicious recipe. All you have to do is you preheat your oven to 190 or 210 and line the base and the sides of a deep sort of baking tin, okay, about 19-20 centimeters. A square baking tin works quite well. And then on a sheet of foil, you line it with a sheet of foil and you brush it with a little bit of olive oil. And you lay out the aubergines on a baking tray. You can also put greaseproof paper at the bottom. I found that it doesn't really need it because it's got oil on the tin foil. And you just, as I say, you put the 60 mils of olive oil over it, making sure that the oil is absorbed as well. And, you know, into the aubergines. And you sprinkle it with about 1/2 teaspoon of salt and generously grind some black pepper over it. And you roast that in the oven for about 40 minutes until the aubergines are soft and golden. So it's actually quite a low heat that you're roasting them on, because it's 190 or 210. Okay, 210. No, it's actually getting quite high, because then you've got to reduce the heat. I'm sorry. Yeah, you reduce it to about 170 after that. And then you place the feta, cream cheese, eggs, cream, and some black pepper in a bowl, and you just whisk it together. And then the aubergines, which you've placed onto the oiled tin foil, just make sure that I sort of lay them sort of horizontally, you know, one on top of the other in rows. And then any little spaces in between, that's where you push your little baby plum tomatoes. Okay, and then I just poured the mixture over the eggplant, sprinkled with any of the remainder oregano, and then baked in the oven for about 35 to 40 minutes on 170. And then you remove it from the oven and just allow it to come to room temperature. And just cut it up, and you could just sprinkle some za'atar on top. But how do they serve it like that as well in the restaurant?
So I want to talk about aubergine quickly. And yes. What's nice about this dish is that the aubergine can be prepared in advance.
Great.
So if you're cooking for a lot of people, you can do it a few days in advance, keep it in the fridge, and then put it together when you're ready.
Right.
The way we do it in the restaurant is sometimes we have, as vegetarian options, individual aubergine cheesecakes. And everyone always comes in, they're like, what's an aubergine cheesecake? It's a savory cheesecake. And instead of using a bread as the base, we use aubergine. But then you can do it either lengthways or in round.
Round. Yeah. Horizontal.
And, And then you just bake them. So it's the same mixture on top, and you just do them in individual little molds.
Right.
So it serves one per person as like a vegetarian option.
Oh, that must be delicious.
Yeah. And then absolutely they are delicious. There is no shortage of aubergine dishes in any of the cookbooks. So there's so many different things that you can make with the aubergine.
Right. And just what does Yotam do with his eggplant? Does he salt them first? You know, because there's always this hoo-ha. No. Do you need to salt them? Yes, no. You know, what does he do?
We don't salt them.
Okay.
You cut them up. We put them in a big container, lots of olive oil, salt and pepper, and then we bake it. Okay. And then it's ready. They're on the trays, ready for when it needs to be plated. Very easy,
beautiful,
very simple.
And soft,
yeah.
What do they call that? Mise en plus.
Mise en plus.
Where they get everything organized beforehand. You see, you need to be organized so you can do that if you want to. But that's obviously a milchig dish. You can make that for brunch. I would imagine that's delicious as a brunch meal.
You know, we love aubergine. It's Yotam's favorite vegetable.
Yes.
Even our passwords for the Wi-Fi at the branches is aubergine.
Okay.
People always come, they're like, what's your Wi-Fi password?
Yes.
And they find it very funny that it's aubergine. That's how much we love.
Yeah. Okay, we go into another break, and then we're going to come back with, starting from the beginning, some nice soup recipes and things like that. Salads after the break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
You're tuned into the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I am privileged enough to have the most wonderful lady in front of me, Leah Leventhal, who works for my hero, Yotam Ottolenghi. Yotam is an Israeli restaurateur, chef, author, TV star. He's just there. talking about Israel, I have to just give a little shout out. I hope that you're listening to me, Ori. I got a message from somebody the other day. He says, I listen to your show every day from Israel. So that was terrific. So thank you, and I hope that you're enjoying the show, because you must know Yotam. Anyway, let's get back to the beginning. I am so tired, Leah, of chicken soup and knedla, chicken soup and brogan, chicken soup for Friday night. Give me one of your favorite soup recipes that you make at one of Ottolenghi's restaurants.
So my favorite soup would have to be the spicy chickpea and bulgur soup. It is so simple and absolutely delicious.
Yes.
In the cookbook, it does have creamed feta paste, but that is optional if you don't want to go the milk route.
Okay.
And also, if you wanted it to be gluten-free, instead of using the bulgur, you can use millet. It works
fantastic.
Just as well. So I'll go through the ingredients for this one. So you need 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 2 small onions, 4 cloves of garlic. And what you do is you saute the onions with the garlic until they are translucent. Then you add 2 large carrots, peeled and cut and diced, 4 celery sticks, also diced. 2 tablespoons of harissa paste.
Which is easily available here.
Then you have to have that because that makes the dish what it is.
Yes, gives it that Middle Eastern kind of flavor, Mediterranean.
Mm. So then you need 1 teaspoon of ground cumin, 1 teaspoon of ground coriander, 1.5 teaspoons of caraway seeds. And then you add all of that to the onions and you let that, you know, kind of soak up the flavor of all the spices.
Yes.
Then you need 500 grams of cooked chickpeas, or you can use tinned chickpeas as well.
Right.
You then add that, and don't mix it too much because you don't want the chickpeas to break and go mushy.
Mm.
And then 1.5 liters of vegetable stock. So then you add the stock, you bring it to the boil, you let it reduce the heat and simmer for 10 minutes. So it's quite easy. It's very
easy
quick.
Enough.
It's very
right.
easy as well. And then you would then add either the bulgur or the millet, whichever one you decide to use.
Right.
And it is delicious.
Cook it up until it's soft and
add
more salt and pepper if need be to your taste. But that sounds easy enough. And the vegetable stock, I suppose we could just use, I'm sure he has his own vegetable stock, which is on tap there. But we can use cubes or something
or the
powdered vegetable stock and just make it up as per the instructions on the bottle.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's a lovely soup. I know that I've made his red lentil soup. Oh, that is absolutely delicious as well. And but which is also in his book,
Plenty More. Yeah,
really, this book is. It's worth getting these books for your birthday, your anniversary, whatever you feel like you need a present for.
And Plenty More is vegetarian only as well. So Plenty and Plenty More, the two vegetarian ones. So
yes. There
is a.
Okay, that's why I'm going to give a couple of meat recipes as well. So I think what I'll do is I'll give the meat recipes now. Now I'm going to do, I'm not Jota Matalengi, I'm going to do something very quick and easy, but still tasty. Okay, so if you want to make something for Shabbos, I've got a lovely lamb recipe for you that you can convert. It's a Greek lamb recipe, very easy, and you can serve it the next day with pita and hummus and tahina and whatever you feel like. So, but we're going to start off with the quick and easy chicken with caramelized onion and cardamom rice. So this is great done in a heavy base cast iron pot, which you can then put once it's left the stove top and you've cooked the onions and you've added the chicken and the rice, then you can actually put the cast iron pot into your oven. Or you could cook it on top of the stove top and then transfer it to a crock pot and leave it there for most of the day until Friday night or Purim or whenever you're going to serve it. All you need, depending on how many people, this is for 10 pieces, not 10 people, 10 pieces. it's 1 ready cooked barbecue chicken cut up into 10 pieces. So you ask your butcher, please, to cook a barbecue chicken for you, and you cut it up into 10 pieces. I know that Nussbaum's do one where they braai it for you, and they put on a delicious barbecue sauce as well. That's great, because that sauce can seep into the dish. You'll need 2 onions chopped, 8 cardamom pods, 4 cloves. Not cloves of garlic. They're just, you know, those cloves that, you know, when you go to the dentist and he rubs something on your gum. That's oil of cloves. You just want about 4 of those cloves. It just brings out a lovely kind of flavor to the dish. You'll also need 2 long cinnamon sticks. Now, why I say long cinnamon sticks is because it's easier to sort of fish out at the end, because you don't want somebody biting into a bark of tree of cinnamon. You'll also need 1.5 cups of raw rice, 2.5 cups of water, you may need 3, parsley, fresh parsley and coriander chopped up just for the decorations afterwards. So you preheat your oven to 180 and you fry the onions in a little oil. You add the rice and you fry that for a few minutes, not cooked rice, raw rice, and you cook that for a few minutes longer so that they, you know, it's nicely coated with the oil and the onions. You add the 4 little cloves, cardamom and cinnamon sticks with some salt and pepper. And then you take the chicken and you put that into your dish as well, into the pot or whatever you're using. And you pour the water over the chicken and the rice. You bring it to the boil. And at that point, you can either remove it from the heat and place it into the oven or into your crock pot. Remember that it's the chicken's already lovely and brown. So don't be nervous that it's going to look like boiled chicken when you put it into your crock pot. It's going to still look lovely and brown. And you can stick it into the oven and cook that. Remember, the chicken is cooked, so you just really want your rice to cook in the water. After about 45 minutes to an hour, you open it, see that it's not too dried out. You may have to add a little bit more water. The reason I don't use stock is that stock actually thickens up the water and the rice doesn't cook as quickly. That's why I like to use a pre-cooked barbecue chicken, which has got the spice on and the marinade on already, so that gives it that lovely flavor. Then another quick and easy, simple Greek-style lamb for Shabbos. And if you have any left over, you can have it for Shabbos lunch and you just serve it in pittas. So all you need to do is you order a barbecued, cooked shoulder of lamb, or you can order lamb shanks if you prefer, breast of lamb, whatever takes your fancy. I just find breasts a little bit fatty, but the shoulder's great, or the lamb shanks. And you ask Nussbaum's to spice it for you with their Greek spice and let them cook it for you. I mean, you don't even have to worry, or cook it yourself, but ask them please to spice it with their Greek spice. And then you would cook it as you would normally cook a shoulder of lamb. But if you're letting them cook it for you, then all you have to do is just before Shabbos. I like my lamb well done, so I like to cook it a little bit longer so that it actually falls off the bone and you can almost shred it like pulled lamb. But it has this beautiful Greek spice running through it. If you want, you can add a little bit more garlic oil to it if you want to. How do you make garlic oil? Simple, just blend oil and garlic together. And there you have garlic oil, fresh garlic. I do a whole head of garlic to half a cup of oil, regular oil, canola if you want. And then you can add a bit more, as I say, a bit more garlic if you want to, if you like garlic. And then just before Shabbos, I put it into, once it's cooked right through and you've checked that it's cooked through and it's lovely and brown, put your tin foil on top of it and just stick it into a warming drawer or your hot, stick it on your hot plate or wherever. And you can serve it on Friday night with a delicious potato kugel, and which is available from Nussbaum's. And then, you know what, they'll even do your vegetables as well. And a butternut kugel or carrot kugel.
Speaking of, the butternut kugel that you made on Friday night Shabbos,
yes,
was absolutely delicious. And I'm actually going to ask you for the recipe to take back for Yotam. I think he will love it.
Oh, good. With pleasure. Okay. Wow, that would be something interesting.
And then maybe we'll get him on the show afterwards.
Oh, if he's tasted my butternut kugel. And then the next day, as I say, you can serve it with hummus and tahine, Israeli salad, and chili for those who prefer it hot. But it is a simple, quick and easy. Those are two simple, quick and easy meat dishes that you can serve on Shabbos, or you can serve on Purim, or whenever, or during the week. So now, Leah, some nice salad recipes.
So I've got two of my favorite salad recipes that I'm going to go through.
Yes.
And they're both very different. Everyone thinks salad, you know, lettuce and whatever. These two are both very different, and I think will also impress, you know, whoever is coming to eat with you. So the first one is a three citrus salad with green chili, stem ginger, and crunchy salsa. So what is three citrus?
Yes.
Oranges, grapefruit, pomelo, you know, all those kind of fruits. But you don't necessarily, if you can't get one of them, it doesn't really matter as long as you have one or two different. You don't have to have all three.
Right.
But even with the grapefruit, you can get pink grapefruit, regular grapefruit, and white grapefruit if you can find that will make up the three citrus, because you also get the different colors, the different flavors.
Right.
So, and this salad is really, really good because you've got a combination of flavors, of textures, of colors, so it's everything.
So important.
It really is.
Yeah.
So we use, this is for 8 people.
Okay.
So we use 2 oranges, 1 pink grapefruit, 1 large pomelo, 1 small radicchio, which is a quite a bitter leaf, but it gives it that, because you've already got the, you know, the sourness and the citrus, so now you've got a little bit of bitter and the spice from the chili. 1 chicory, which is cut lengthways into wedges. And then
so you
also
peel the leaf.
Yes.
Peel the leaf off.
Yes.
Okay.
And then 50 grams of baby leaf watercress, which also gives it now a different color because you've got the green mixed with all the citrus and the, it's the best salad.
Yes.
And then for the almond salsa, it is 80 grams of almonds. And you leave the skin on. 5 green chilies, de-seeded and thinly sliced. 80 grams of stemmed ginger, finely diced, 2 tablespoons of coriander seeds, and 1 tablespoon of fennel seeds, which are both pan toasted and lightly crushed. 1.5 tablespoons of poppy seeds, and then we use red wine vinegar,
instead of the
sherry
wine.
Vinegar. Right. Yeah. 75 mils of olive oil and then sea salt and black pepper to taste. So you just, you know, make the salsa.
Right.
Then you arrange the leaves and all the citrus on the plate and then mix the salsa over it.
Just throw it over and the end. Okay.
And there you go.
What? And it's absolutely delicious.
Absolutely delicious.
One of the most popular salads.
And again, that can also be, everything is pre-prepared. So you have all your citrus fruit cut, your salsa's done, your leaves are washed and prepared. So you just put it together. So it's very easy to do right at the end.
Fantastic. Okay. And then got another one for us.
Second one is the tomato salad with wasabi, mascarpone, and pine nuts.
Okay, so this is along the milchic route.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay.
But again, if you didn't want to go, you could do it without the wasabi mascarpone because the tomatoes have so much flavor already.
Yes.
You know, if you're just having that on its own, it would also be delicious. But, of course, the wasabi mascarpone adds that little bit extra and the spice and everything.
Okay. Do you want to give that recipe as well?
So we've got 250 grams of mascarpone, 1 tablespoon of wasabi paste, 10 grams of finely chopped chives, and 10 grams of finely chopped tarragon, 1 spring onion finely sliced, 2 banana shallots, which are just very small shallots.
Okay, so we could use, I think we could use baby onions.
Yeah, absolutely, if you don't have.
And the wasabi, I have to let you in a little secret. When I made this, I used horseradish. I thought I had wasabi at home, but I didn't, so I just used horseradish instead.
Works just as well. Then we've got 2 tablespoons of Pedro Ximenez sherry vinegar.
Okay, so we'll use the red white vinegar.
You use the red wine vinegar again.
Yes.
1
for
tablespoon of
purposes.
Yeah.
Okay.
1 tablespoon of olive oil, and then 1 kilogram of mixed tomatoes that are cut into slices and wedges. And what's really nice about this salad is the color, because when you get all the different kinds of, you know, heritage tomatoes, you get green tomatoes, yellow tomatoes, orange tomatoes.
Yes.
I didn't even know that you could get this many types
of
tomatoes.
Now, we get them here at Woolworths in a box, all these beautiful different tomatoes, you know, black tomatoes, green, orange, yellow, red. Beautiful. So this would be a lovely salad.
Yeah, it looks so beautiful because of all the different colors. So you cut them up into wedges and slices, and then you got 20 grams of pine nuts, which you toast, which you would just add, sprinkle on the top. And also basil leaves. You can use micro basil leaves, purple basil, any kind of basil you could tear up. And that is just to garnish.
right.
on top.
Would you serve this with some, like a fish dish or something? Or maybe even a chicken dish? What do they serve?
You know, because of
with?
The wasabi mascarpone, it actually does go very, very well with fish. You know, wasabi you have with.
Okay. Yeah.
But you can serve it with anything. So this is also from the Napi cookbook.
Yes.
And Napi is more like tapas style. So everything in here, or everything that we serve in the restaurant, goes with whether it's meat or fish or cheese. They all
the
kind of work well together.
Right.
Yeah.
A lot of thought and work has gone into this. Sure.
There is so much, and it's just a labor of love, all of it.
Yes. Well, we're going to come back to some more recipes with Leah Leventhal from the home of Yota Motelengi and after the break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and I am live in studio with Leah Leventhal. She is with Yota Motelengi in London, and we are talking about recipes, and we're talking about the different dishes that he makes. And one particular recipe that I actually love, Leah, and that is works well with roast beef, is his butter bean mash with rosemary garlic. And it's just such, it's comfort food. You know, instead of mashed potato, have this. I mean, I remember my late mom always used to make these beautiful butter beans and garlic and parsley cream sauce. And she used to serve that with brisket, and it was absolutely delicious. And this reminds me of her. So it's 400 grams of dried butter beans soaked overnight in plenty of cold water. Okay, I suppose you could use the tinned butter beans, but you'd need two tins because this is 400 grams of dried butter beans. But then once they're soaked, they become a little heavier. But use the dried butter beans. It's more cost effective. And you know what? If you know that you're going to make it the next day, soak it overnight. It's no big deal. You'll also need 60 mils of olive oil. So that's about a quarter of a cup, plus a little bit extra to serve on top. And two sprigs of rosemary and one garlic clove, crushed, coarse sea salt, and black pepper. And all you do is you drain the beans that have been soaking overnight, and you place them in a large saucepan with 2 liters of water. Bring them to the boil and then simmer on medium heat for anywhere between 20 minutes and an hour. You know, it depends, of course, on the beans. Some beans are really dehydrated. Some you don't know how long they've been sitting on the shelf. So it can go from 20 minutes to an hour. And the cooking time is, as Yotam says, can vary hugely, you know, but the beans have to be completely soft. And then you drain the beans and you keep the cooking liquid and you set both aside. And you put the olive oil and rosemary into a small pan and put it onto medium heat. And you simmer it gently for about 3 to 4 minutes until you can smell that beautiful rosemary aroma. And then you remove it from the heat. Lift out the rosemary and you set the rosemary aside. So you basically fried the rosemary. And then you place the beans in a food processor with the infused oil, garlic, 2 teaspoons of salt, and a good grind of black pepper, because you need quite a bit of salt for the beans. And you blitz it and combine it in the machine. And while it's still running, you actually add the water that you set aside earlier, and just add it, and just will make it more smooth and a little bit more liquidy. But don't use more than about 2 cups. You don't want it to be really runny. You don't want it to be like a sauce. You want it to be a nice beany mash. and then you just drizzle it with a little bit of olive oil, and you can actually put the fried rosemary on top, which is nice and crunchy and crispy.
Delicious.
So that's something that's really delicious. And we also do, I do the potato and celeriac. Now, celeriac, if you go into a fruit store, vegetable store, go to Woolworths, go to any good vegetable store, you will see that they have celeriac, which is a big round bulb about the size, a bit bigger than a tennis ball. And it normally has shoots of celery growing off it. But it's the celeriac bulb that actually blends and goes a beautiful smooth texture when you cook it. So this is Jotam's potato and celeriac gratin, which has got obviously got cheese in it, but I don't use cheese. So what I did was it's 50 grams of, I used olive oil instead of the butter, 3 cloves of garlic thinly sliced, and 10 grams of sage leaves, which you can get the dried sage leaves, and use those. I think they're about 10 grams. One small celeriac, well, one regular one. I don't know how big they are in London. They're huge.
They're huge in London. They're like this.
Okay, so then maybe you may even need two. Okay, it must, he says here, it should come to about 500 grams. And then you cut it lengthwise and you cut it into some, you know, into slices. And you'll need 4 large potatoes peeled and cut widthwise as well into 2 to 3 centimeter slices. And the 4 potatoes should weigh about 1 kilo. So you have nice big potatoes in London. Okay, then you'll need 700 mils of vegetable stock. And I used Orly Whip, and you can use some grated cheese if you want. And all you do is you place the butter or the oil, as I did, in a large preheat your oven, sorry, before we start, quite high to 200 degrees. Place the oil in a large saucepan on medium heat, and you add the garlic and fry that for about 1 to 2 minutes, stirring all the time until it's lightly golden brown. And then you add the sage and you just fry that for a couple more minutes and you get that beautiful smell of that sage and garlic. It's wonderful. And then you add the 2 teaspoons of salt and plenty of pepper and bring it to the boil. And then you reduce the heat to medium and you simmer it gently for about 8 minutes. Until the celeriac and the potatoes are just cooked, but still retain a bite. Okay, now, did he say that you need to boil, that you need to add the water? I don't think so, but you need to add the water. And then you drain the vegetables and you retain the liquid. And then you spread them out into oven-proof dish. And then you just... So about a square one or a rectangular oven-proof dish you can put it on. And then you just bake it for about 10 to 12 minutes. And then you mash it up. You can liquidize it if you want to. But not liquidize it, sorry. You put it through the arasa if you want to. And then you can add a little bit more. See how it goes. You may need to add a little bit more liquid. The liquid that you set aside, and you'll have this like lovely golden brown sort of mash and potato, celeriac mash and potato. It is so delicious. Anyway, I'm going to post that recipe up on the site for everybody.
So I don't know about everybody listening right now, but
yes,
listening to you speak and describe everything and looking at all the recipes and the pictures is making me absolutely hungry.
Starving.
Yeah, I'm starving.
You know, you were talking about a butternut. Was it a salad that you live on?
Yes.
What is that?
I eat this every single day. I just cannot get enough. It's actually, at Noppy, an onion squash, which is very, it's a different kind of squash. It's similar to a butternut squash. But it is, I would say, softer and sweeter.
Yes. So you can get them at Woolworths. They sort of round,
yes,
and orange-ish.
Yes.
That's how I can explain them. Sort of more round and orange. Yeah. Orange. But if you can't get them, then what can
butternut
you
use? Butternut squash.
Butternut. Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So what you do is you cut them up into pieces,
yes,
to lengthways.
Right.
Roast them with olive oil, garlic, salt and pepper. And then we put on it a tahini dressing. So it's just tahini, lemon juice, salt and pepper as well.
Mm-hmm.
And once it's baked, so you bake for, I don't know, until it's quite
nice
soft.
And yeah. Brown. And
yeah, but not too soft, and but soft yes. enough. A little bit crispy on the outside. So, and then you put it aside so it cools down. So then you prepare it on the tray. You drizzle the tahini dressing over it. We've also put chopped parsley, pine nuts, and then balsamic red onions as well, for it gives that little bit of extra flavor and color as well. And it is so delicious. I eat it every single day.
Okay, so now the balsamic red onions. Okay, yes. We chop up slice the red onions into rings and fry that until it's a little soft, and then add balsamic and reduce that to it gets like a syrupy glaze.
Absolutely.
Balsamic red onions. Delicious. After the break, we are coming back with some dessert ideas.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
I am so hungry, I can't begin to tell you. I didn't have breakfast. I'm sitting here, I'm relishing. Okay. Anyway, welcome back to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, we're talking to Leah Leventhal, and she is... she is the most remarkable cook. She's chef trained by Yota Motelengi, qualified here in South Africa, and went over to London. And she's sharing all these wonderful recipes from Yotam's books, from Yotam's kitchen, from her experiences with her literally making up all these dishes for us. So she's the lady that makes them, and she's the lady that's going to share a couple more ideas with us and a couple more recipes. I have to tell you a funny story. I was going through this book, this new book, Noppy Book, and I make a... I don't know if I've ever shared it with anybody, but I'm going to share it now. I make a very easy, a quick and easy sorbet, strawberry. I call it strawberry mess, because anything that you just sort of put together is a mess. But it's beautiful and tasty. So this is also reminds me of the eaten mess.
Yeah, kind traditional English.
English kind of dessert. Okay, but this is quite a nice light one for summer. And what I normally do is I take Swiss rolls. I just buy a Swiss roll. You can get them at Pick and Pay or wherever. And I drizzle some strawberry syrup, which is easily available, or a little bit of strawberry jam on top of that. Then I put a little bit of Oli Whip or Rich's Cream on top. And then I put some strawberries and... a bit of meringue, crushed meringue on top. If you've got any meringue left over, this is a great recipe. And finally, I put a blob of strawberry sorbet and a little mint leaf on top. And it goes down so well. So here I see on page 284, Yotam's got the same thing. And I said, look at this. The only thing he's got is he drizzles over, I think, some... pomegranate molasses. I suppose you could compare that to the strawberry jam I use. And he also decorates it with pomegranates. So that really looks great. So add pomegranates to that as well, and you'll get the most delicious looking pudding ever.
Look at that. Great minds think alike, hey, Char?
Oh, I wouldn't say so. Not a pitch, not even a flick on him. So, I know that you make these very often, the tahini biscuits.
Tahini cookies.
I know, before I carry on, Yotam always says that tahini, or tahina as we call it, is the new peanut butter.
Absolutely. I love tahini. We use it with everything. Like I said before, it was on the butternut squash.
Yes.
Mix it with yogurt to put... You can have it either for sweet or for savory.
Yes.
We use it in the cookies, in the cakes. We put a halva in the cakes. It's the best. Best ingredient.
Oh, just my kind of food. Mm. Right.
So the tahini cookies are, for sure, I make them all the time.
Yes.
They are my favorite.
And they last long.
And they last so long.
Yes.
So if you ever are in London, and if you are ever in London, you have to go to any of the Otolenghi stores that are... incredible to see and to taste. Anyway, so the tahini cookies we sell all year round.
For those who can't go and taste them, you're going to share the recipe,
exactly.
Right?
So it is in the Jerusalem cookbook on page 292. I'm not going to go through the whole method
story
with you, but
that.
I will tell you just the ingredients.
And
it.
How to put it together.
Yes.
The method.
So it is 130 grams of caster sugar, 150 grams of unsalted butter at room temperature, 110 grams of light tahini paste, half a teaspoon of vanilla essence, 25 mils of double cream, 270 grams of plain flour, and 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. So,
be short on time. I've just been told to wrap up, so we're going to do this quickly. We're going to do caster sugar and the butter, obviously, right? And then?
On a medium speed, so you combine that.
Right.
You then, while the machine is still running, you add the tahini, the vanilla, the cream, and then lastly, you add the flour. You work it for about 1 minute until the dough all comes together. And then you transfer it to a workspace. You knead it. And then you pinch off 20 grams at a time. You roll that into the palms of your hand to form a
about
ball.
About the size of a little bit bigger than a marble.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
And then you make a ball with that, and then you push down so that it makes like a flat cookie.
Yes.
And then you place it on a baking sheet and
cook it on 180.
Yes, for about 15. It's for about 15 minutes. So you sprinkle a little bit of cinnamon on the top, and then you bake it 15 minutes until it's golden brown. And
they are delicious.
And they are.
And you've got to make them.
And I bring them home for my mom every time I come back. She absolutely loves them. She keeps them for about a year until the next time I come back and bring her the next batch.
They are delicious. I want to tell you, I make them very often, and they do not last. They're gone within a minute. Well, our program hasn't lasted that long. It feels like it's flown by. Thank you so much, Leah, for coming in and sharing all these wonderful tips and recipes with us.
Thank you for having me.
We'll have you on again in a year's time. And remember, it's the eat and meet that makes the show complete.